That's right, fans of AFL Fantasy Football. It's time for the People's Prince, the father of fantasy, and everybody's favorite humble genius, Jock Riddles. Over to you, Jock.
G'day, community. It is Community Night Podcast time. I am Jock Reynolds. Thanks for tuning in. This is the night of the week that members of the community that we know and we love step up and provide their advice about this weekend coming up. It's a ripping new night here at the community, and we really appreciate everyone sending in their messages. Bloody tops now. Last round of the boys. You little bloody beauty. This is a time to be excited because we've seen the forest. We come into the trees. We can just see the clearing now, and we can get out to the green meadows. Fancy footloose free days will be here again. Some of you have been scarred. Some of you have been hurt by these buys. Some of you have endured some losses in your leagues, and you're now looking at a very tough back end of the season to get back into it. Some of you have slipped down the rankings and you want to consolidate your rankings and get back up to the pointy bloody end. Some of you, though, are flying, and I'm proud of you. But main message to those of you who are struggling and are just hanging on, I'll tell you one thing I've learned in this caper and in this bloody life. It's the measure of a man, the measure of a woman. We appreciate all of the ilks of the females even listening here tonight. Is not how you go when things are sailing sweet as a die, you know. We can all be up and about when things are going good. It's how you respond when your back's against the bloody wall. Everyone needs to finish this season strongly. It's good for your constitutions just to buckle down and get through the thing. Absolutely tickled pink with the amount of real pure wisdom coming in. People in this community are maturing. They are stepping up. And let's get straight into it, folks.
G'day, Jockey Boy. Just wondering what you reckon I should do with Sammy Lloyd. Really keen to keep him given his low price and need of break even, but not sure if he'll be able to make his way back into the side. Do you think I should just cut my losses and upgrade him to Wigard? Cheers.
Good on you, Matty. Thanks for the call in, mate. That's a surprise, Sammy Lloyd out. You would have thought that Hardwick would be swinging the axe on some other people in the Richmond team rather than poor old Sammy Lloyd, who's in some pretty good form. He's only made us about $100,000, and as you say, he does have a negative break-even, so I tend to think we should hold him at least for another week just to see what's going on. Has he got a little niggle? Has he pulled up sore at training? I'd be surprised if he was out due to form, because I think he's contributed quite a bit. Hardwick's brought in Matty Thomas, the young kid, so don't know what's going on. I'd tend to say hang on to him for now. He's got a negative break even. If he does come back the week after, he's got plenty of cash to make.
Evening, community. Jock, trust everyone's well. Simon from Gargle Snarf FC here, just wishing everyone good luck for the weekend. One thing to be aware of, if you're Langdon owners, if Fasolo gets named this week, he tends to put a fairly big dampener on Langdon's output. The three lowest scores that Langdon has put in this season all have come in games where Fasolo played the full match, and it's something to be aware of if you're planning on keeping him as a D6 or when to cash him in, because whilst he's still got cash to make this week, if Fasolo gets named, he probably hasn't got too many more weeks in him. So just thought I'd pass that one on. Good luck, everybody. Looking forward to the podcast.
Simon from Gargle Snarf with some absolute superb wisdom. Watch out for Tommy Langdon's performance this week, and that will hinge very much on where Fasolo slots back into the team. We saw both Fasolo and Langdon both play across half-back when Fasolo was in, but Langdon took a slightly different role. Watch very carefully. Clearly, you're not going to shit your pants yet and just get rid of Langdon, but watch it very carefully over the next couple of weeks, because could be a determining factor, as Simon magnificently said, with some of the most supreme wisdom we've had so far, maybe we won't be able to rely on him for a D6. Watch him very carefully. Wonderful call-in, son.
Yeah, g'day, Jock. Sorry about that. I was just eating some brekkie. I just want to warn the community against overexciting their arousal curve. With the news that Blake Akers has gone down for 6 weeks, I just want to ensure the community that they don't panic, they don't overexcite their arousal curves and trade him out. Because the thing is, there aren't many rookies left that you can downgrade in your midfield unless you go to a hard tongue. But the problem is, we probably don't have enough trades to do it, because it's effectively a sideways trade. He's only made about 50k or something since we got him. And it's only 6 weeks for a rookie. If it was a primo, it's probably a different story. But since he's a rookie, I reckon we can afford to keep him on our bench and wait for 6 weeks. Because quite simply put, the kid's a gun. So after 6 weeks, right, he would probably come back into that St Kilda team quite comfortably and quite seamlessly. So I reckon we should try and not overexcite our arousal curve and hold on to Blake Akers. What are your thoughts, Jock?
My thoughts, Geary, are that you're a bloody champion and another superb piece of wisdom, and I agree with you, mate. Blake Shady Akers, he is a quality player, don't you worry about that. As you say, do we really want to burn a trade? He's only made 50 grand. He'll be back, and, you know, they say 6 weeks, he'll be back in four. He's from the red, white and black, and when the red, white and black need to pull their finger out and get back onto the bloody ground to prove themselves, he'll be back. So I won't be moving on Shady Akers as well. You'll only regret it when he comes back and starts just developing cash in the arse end of the season, just when we're looking for a little bit of an extra kick to give us an upgrade. So I tend to agree with you, mate. And yeah, we all have learned so much from listening to Ross Lyon on the Sunday Night Podcast, and God, he's right. We can't overexcite our arousal curves. Sammy Lloyd, even getting rid of Sammy Lloyd, I'd tend to say hold off a week because you're overexciting that Ross Lyon arousal curve. I think it's a similar scenario with Blake Akers. Let's hold on to the kid.
It was really important we didn't overexcite on the arousal curve.
Yeah, great wisdom, Ross, and thanks for calling in, mate, just to reinforce the message that you passed on after your game on the weekend. Critical, absolutely critical we don't overexcite that curve.
Saturday was horrible, Jock. Zorko, J. Kennedy Harris, Crouch. And then I traded in Steve Johnson, the man. I got the boy Stevie J, Jock. Arousal curve was sloping down into negative territory. It was awkward and embarrassing, to say the least. No matter how much I fiddled with my team, I couldn't get the arousal curve to shoot back up. But then came Sunday, Jock. I could sense that I was back on the positive, smooth upward trend of the arousal curve when Gary Ablett ran out on the field. I won my league game, but it was still a horrible score. So, this week my queries are, it seems a lot of people on the internet are talking about Shannon Hearn. I don't see anything about him that I like. I don't know if you want to discuss that a bit, if he's just a point of difference or chasing the car sort of player. Tom Lynch, very much chasing the car sort of player. He's been in amazing form for the Gold Coast Suns, that is. Thought about bringing him in last week when he had the negative break-even, but I didn't trust him to maintain that score, even though he sort of did. I'm not sure what you think about that. And then maybe Taylor Walker. I don't really trust him that much, but what are your opinions on that bloke? Cheers, mate.
Yeah, Gary Ablett was just a cool drink of water on a hot bloody summer's day late on that Sunday. And yeah, if you aren't in a high state of arousal watching a football or in that sort of form, doing that sort of thing to a super coach, to an AFL fantasy scoreboard, you're not bloody human. I will not make the mistake of wearing tracksuit pants again while observing Gary Ablett in that state, because, you know, you run the danger of standing up and moving around and knocking over some objects that you're standing next to. Wear a good sturdy pair of underpants, a nice solid jean just to keep things harnessed in and close to your person. Gary Ablett, I love you. We all bloody love you. I'll speak on the behalf of the bloody community. Yeah. You are an absolute ornament to fantasy football and to this community, and you'll be in bronze. In bronze out the front of the Jock Reynolds Fantasy Footy Community Hall one day, my friend, and I look forward to just sitting back and drinking beer with you, son. Got a couple of things to get through there. One, Shannon Hearn, I'm on your bandwagon. I don't see what everyone's seeing in the kid. Yeah, his value, but gee, how many times has he burned a hole in the back of our dacks in the past? Promise so much. He's got a beautiful raking kick, lovely accuracy, but I don't think he's ever going to develop into a good, solid, contributing member of the back half. At very best, you know, he'll finish you somewhere in the 10th to 14th best defender for the season, and that's not good enough for me, especially in a year where we've got so many mid-defence-eligible quality defence options. I just don't think he hits that mark. However, there is two sides to every tale, and you know Mickey the Mad Irishman's back with his tight ass Tuesday on a Tuesday, funnily enough, and he has done a little write-up on Shannon Hearn. He's priced around 412 grand, so he's priced to average 80. Yeah, maybe he is a 90 average player, so maybe you do get slightly more bang for your buck. But for me, at this stage of the season, I'm after more value than that from a player who I want to see cranking out of hundreds to lock away in the defence at this stage of the year. That's just me, you know, that's just me. Another bloke you talked about was Tyler Walker, who's just hit the field. We have to have a look at him this week, see what sort of form he's in. He's a big bastard. So often you see these big fellas just needing to wheel into form. Adelaide will be wanting him to hit the peak come finals time. I don't expect him to hit anything like peak at this stage of the season, although he is very cheap. So watch him closely. I'm very unlikely to go near Taylor Walker. Again, have a read through Tight Ass Tuesday, because Mickey the Mad Irishman can see something developing in Taylor Walker. I don't see it yet, but I would be a bloody fool. I'd be a bloody fool to say anything but have a listen to Mick the Mad Irishman. When he's onto something, you need to be right on the bloody pulse there. Tommy Lynch just emerging, as are some of the other forward players up in the Gold Coast. They're starting to play together well, and that's affecting all of them in a positive manner. Again, big boy, yeah, you could roll the dice and go in, but I prefer to see some long, drawn-out, extended form from a player before I bought him in. So I'd give him a miss for now, but gee, he could be a good point of difference.
G'day, Mr. Jock. Here you go, Crouching. Wayne, have you there, boys? Love your stuff. Keep it up. Now, Jock, I reckon we as a community should be doing all we can to bring in Jackie Stephen into our Supercoach sites. A player of his ilk should not be priced around at 501k. He won't be priced around there, that bracket, for much longer. I reckon everyone should bring him in next week, not this week, as he has the bye. I reckon he'll come home this year with a wet sale averaging at about 105 to 110, and he'll provide glimpses of what he did last year in the back end of the year. People may worry that he might not play well in losing sides, but last year his scores only increased in losing sides in the back end of the year. And with St Kilda not that strong and lose a few more games in the back end of the year, his scores will skyrocket. Everyone, jump on the Jack Stephen bandwagon. Thanks, Jock.
Jesse, you've really impressed the inner sanctum with your wisdom, mate. Very impressive is the fact that you're stepping outside of the box and you're looking further ahead than this weekend. Of course, we're not going to bring him in this week because he's got the bye, but maybe that does affect how we trade this week. If you're keen on Jack Stephen, you see a bit of a diamond in the rough there, 90 grand cheaper than he was at the start of the season. Just smashed out 131 for the majestic St Kilda Football Club. Maybe you hold off on an upgrade this week. Not many people are going to have him. Now, that leads us right into this one.
Hi, Jock. Zach here. I love the podcast. I don't have any wisdom as such this week, but I have a topic to bring up for discussion. I just wanted to know what the community's thoughts were on point of difference premiums compared to your stock standard premiums. I think this is probably one of the biggest things to look at this time of the season. How many stock standards are we going to have, say, for instance, in the midfield? Are we going to go four stock standards that everyone's going to have and try and go for four point of difference? Or do we try and drop back the stock standards to two premiums and try and have 6 point of difference? I think, yeah, this is probably one of the biggest things to look at this time of the season. And I'm interested to hear if anyone's got any particular strategies, because I haven't really heard it talked about that much. Looking forward to hearing your wisdom, Jock.
Thank you, Zach. That is a wonderful point of discussion. That's the sort of topic that myself and Higo and Crouching and Wayno and Crimo and Mickey and Baron, we'd just stand around on a, you know, Saturday night in our robes with a snifter of port, smoking pipes, and just discussing these very issues, which cut right to the heart of what we do as fantasy footballers and the point of difference. God, we could argue about the point of difference till the cows come home. Now, like all the great teachers such as myself and like Jesus of Nazareth, we like to talk in anthologies. Now, I like to draw a parallel on this one to, like, Travis Cloak. Normal people would go out into the football field with a good haircut and with normal nails, not with nail polish. Travis Cloak thinks, right, eh, I'm going to be a point of difference. I'm going to go out there with a stupid bloody mohawk and wearing nail bloody polish. No, it's not good. Going for a point of difference just to be a point of difference doesn't work. You see, I just worry about people who go out too hard for a point of difference. This week, we're looking at people like Selwood, Liberatore, Ryan Griffin. There's a reason that everyone's going for those boys, because they're proven big-ass scorers and they're bloody cheap. If you're scratching your chin and thinking to yourself, well, everyone's going to go them, I'm going to go across and get someone out of the rough a bit, that's fine if you're really sure that you're getting as much value from that point of difference as you would be from Joel Selwood. But to me, what you're doing is you're shooting yourself in the foot. Because someone like Joel Selwood right now, yeah, most people are going to grab him. He'll be in plenty of teams because he's bloody good value. You make the choice not to go for him now because you want to bring in the point of difference. Yeah, it could come off in 1 in 10 times, but the percentage play is to bring him in because that's a logical choice. Have a look at the statistics. I do see your point because sometimes, particularly let's say you want to win bloody Supercoach or you want to win your AFL fantasy or you're in a bit of a pickle and you really need to mix something up to have any chance of making it to the finals in your league, you're not going to get to the very pointy end by doing exactly what everyone does. So in those scenarios where you're really looking to do something bloody spectacular, maybe you do just roll a few more dice because the only way to win Supercoach is to do something a bit rough. Last year, our good mate Johnny Bruin brought in Travis Cloak, who went whack, whack, had hundreds after hundreds when everyone was just rubbing their hands thinking, geez, I'm so happy I bought Travis Cloak and he's going to be great. He traded him out. No one else was even thinking of getting rid of Travis Cloak, thinking he's in form. Johnny Bruin was smart enough to think, righto. Big power forward. Yeah, he'll take the good with the bad, but right now he's very good. I'm going to cut my losses and trade him out. I'd prefer that those sort of point of difference, logical, thought through moves are the point of difference moves that get you to the very pointy end. Not just the cut and dry, right, I've got Joel Selwood on this hand. On the other hand, I've got Aaron Sipos. I'm going to go Aaron Sipos because he's a point of difference. Don't get me wrong, I really do appreciate how at times you need to stand out from the crowd a bit, but I just worry for the kids who go too hard for points of difference and just shoot themselves in the foot. Wonderful discussion, and like you say, I'd love to hear from the community about their thoughts on points of difference. So hit the speak pipe. If you've got a different opinion about points of difference, I may be an incredible man with an incredible intellect for fantasy football, but I'm only one man with one opinion. I want to hear the community. What do you think about the point of difference situation?
G'day, Jock, Creaching, Higo, and the community. I need some advice, fellas, on cash generation this week, as well as what to do with Blake Akers. I have Taylor, Crouch, and Matt Thomas as rookies, as well as Blake Akers. However, I don't want to overexcite on the arousal curve and trade them out too early. At the same time, I do need some dosh in the kitty. Thanks, community. Love your work, fellas.
Yeah, I can show you a scenario there, and we are being very wary of our arousal curve and not overexciting, I understand. So you mentioned Blake Akers, as we suggested. I think we should be trying to hold on to him if you can. You're not going to make much cash off him at all. There's not much meat on that young lamb's bone anyway, so you're not going to get much there. You got Louis Taylor, who has a negative break-even, so his price is going to keep rising this year. It's very important we try and extract every piece of meat off the bone we can. He's got more to go, plus he's got a midfield and a forward dual position eligibility, which is very valuable. So I wouldn't be moving on Louis Taylor. He's also building his form as the season goes on. Matty Thomas is just in for the Tigers this week. So again, he's going to be fresh. He's obviously hit some good form and he's going to be expected to perform because he knows he's got Sammy Lloyd in a similar role there. So he's going to have to do something. I wouldn't move him on. That probably leaves Matty Crouch, I suppose. He's made about 150 grand. He had 10 last week. His break-even's up around, you know, it's a bit over 90 odd. So if you really have to make some cash, I think Matty Crouch is the one that gets the chop, mate.
G'day, Jock. Just wondering what you think of Cameron Shenton from the Saints. He's got that dual position. You know, he could be a good player to have on the bench in the midfield just in case something happens up forward. You can swing him into the forward line and cover your ass later in the season. Thanks, mate.
Yeah, bloody good one, Damo. Cameron Shenton is a real boost of a kid. Have a look at the facial hair and just the wild man from Borneo caveman look. That's what you want to go into a game of football, not with bloody nail polish, Travis bloody cloak and a bloody mohawk, right? If you have to go on with some sort of crazy hair bloody arrangement, do it like Cameron Shenton because he's doing it bloody right. And you're spot on. Good kid, 155 grand, midfield and forward edgeable. Awkward thing is, if we pick him up this week and he is on the bubble, he scored 99 last week, you got the bye the week after. But I do believe you're making a solid investment moving forward. Of course, St Kilda, it's clear Richo's playing kids. I love his job security. He's going to get a good go. Akers out, you know, that frees him up a bit. Blake Akers has moved along, righto. So we should see 4, 5 or 6 weeks out of Shenton at the very least, if not play out the rest of the season. So I feel he is a good long-term investment. The other rookie people we'll be looking at, of course, is Billy Hartung, who is on the bubble, coming in for his third game. Named on the bench, Liam Shields has come in. Good to see that Hartung has kept his spot. We've also got Brad Sewell knocking on the door. Plenty of depth through the midfield at Hawthorn. I'm not feeling as certain about Hartung's long-term future, but regardless, another option there is Billy Hartung. But, yep, like Shenton better, mate. Better option.
G'day Jock, Cam here, just wanted your thoughts on some of the downgrade targets. We've got Buse, Shenton, Lennon, and here's the other guy, Cameron from Adelaide. Yeah, just want your thoughts on those four blokes. Thanks, cheers.
Great to hear from you, Cameron. Thanks for the call in, mate. Now, we just covered a few of those blokes, but Charlie Cameron's the Adelaide boy who looks a real good, solid player. 122,000, he's up forward. 13 posies and a goal last week, but really did look sparkling and good. Unless you're in a situation where you really want to stuff a forward in and you have to move on some cash, he's probably the most attractive forward rookie option this week. But we've only seen 1 week, and that's important in a very competitive Adelaide lineup. Much prefer you hold off and look at him for another week. Yeah, his buy's out of the way. You could jump on, but let's just wait another week on Charlie if you can, because he's just as likely to give us 3 Supercoach points this week. Ben Lennon, 162 grand, so he's a little bit more expensive. Came on in the third quarter last year, looked really good, smashed 2 very impressive looking goals. That is a little bit of cash at 162 grand, but gee, the rookies are thin on the ground. So if Ben Lennon comes out with another performance, and I think he should get a full game this week, he could end up being the bloke that you want to insert in front of Charlie Cameron's. Going down to the fence, Jed Buse, good kid, son of my good friend Rap Buse. First game, about 123 grand, 15 disposals, 60 Supercoach points, 5 tackles, which was impressive. But what you'll see with Geelong is the policy of just rotating rookies through 2 or 3 games at a time. So don't really enjoy his job security. But God, they're warm bodies. We're looking at warm bodies. And I also understand that we're looking to upgrade to premium hood as quick as we can. So in a year where we're not going to have many other defence rookie options, I'd feel comfortable about you if you had to slot in someone like your Jed Buse or your Ben Lennon or your Charlie Cameron if you had to. Because on the other flip side of the coin, there's not too many forward or defence rookies on the horizon. So if you had to do it, you know, I'd give you the all clear. But if you could, and if the opportunity was there, I'd still prefer you look at them for another week if you can.
G'day, Jock and Higo and Crouching. I'm really enjoying this year's Supercoach, but I have one little thing sticking in my craw. Cloak. He's about as reliable as a fart in a hurricane. What do I do with him? Do I keep him or do I turf him out? Your wisdom is welcome.
Howard, it is always a great pleasure to hear from you, son. And look, yeah, you've gone with Cloak, the man with the fingernail polish, with the bloody mohawk. And I understand you've got a real issue down in the trouser there. But at 360k odd, you're going to get the good weeks and you're going to get a lot of bad weeks. But if you've got him at this stage, you have to hold on to him for that money. Because, look, he's 365, he's worth that money, and you hold on to him with the hope that he'll develop into, you know, as the ball dries up, as the season moves on, he'll take some more plucks and all that sort of business. You can't get rid of him because you're going to lock in your loss anyway, mate. And your concentration in your cortex, in your brain, should be about upgrading and getting more premiums in. In your cortex, you're just going to have to bite it and think of him as a premium, mate. Concentrate on moving your cash from rookies that you're slaughtering, like, yeah, you know, Luke Dunstan's a good one this week to move on, into premiums. Work on your midfield first. Try and get yourself a premium midfield. Forget about Cloak. Let him fluff around up in your forward line and stuff with his stupid bloody hair and his nails, and just think of him right now as someone, maybe once you've got your team to full premium, deal with him then. But just ignore him and his stupid bloody ways for now, Howard. Wonderful to hear from you, mate.
Hey, Jock Reynolds, it's Lapdog here once again, and it's Monday morning, and it's early. It's Monday morning madness. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Jock. I'm going to, like the sheep I was when I put him in my team, I'm going to cull him like the sheep he is, and that's Dane Zorko. And what I'm going to do, I was originally going to turn Dane Zorko into Scott Pendlebury, but I'm going to turn him into two potential premiums. I'm going to swing him into the midfield, which allows me to put in Chad Wingard in the forward line. And then I'm going to trade him, sub in McVeigh from the back line, get in Andrew Walker, and then downgrade another player to Hartung, which will give me a full playing side and the freedom to sub between many of my defender mids. Thanks, mate. Let us know what you think about getting rid of the Zorko the Magnificent. Or bloody crap, Zorko. That's what he is, you bloody crap.
The man they call Lekdog. How are you, mate? Good to hear from you. Let's just play Zorko the Magnificent's most recent magical trick again. And I can see why some people are thinking of moving Zorko on this week with his bye and with his flatulent performance over the most recent weeks. But in the cold light of day, when you look at him and he's just over $400,000, to be honest, if you were happy that he was fit and he didn't have, you know, gastro and poo coming out of his arse issues, in the cold light of day, you'd look at him as, you know, value at that price. So if you cannot, hold off on moving him on. And again, just like Travis Cloak, we're going to have to think about him for now as a premium and concentrate on building the rest of our team. However, the wisdom leak dog, you're showing again with using your dual position and dual ability. And during the trade process, flicking players between lines is majestic. You continue to earn the respect of your peers as a young fantasy football up-and-comer, mate. You're doing a bloody great job on this podcast.
G'day, community and Jock. Before I let you know what I'm planning to do this week, I'm looking at the likes of Callum Ward, averaging about 111. His price at 540. His lowest score for the year is 92. That's if he can out 48, where he got knocked out and he had to get the subbed off. So that's why his price has dropped. From what he is now a bit. He's starting to go back up to the ranks because the last two games he's had was 145, 123. This is someone who should really consider. Plus, in a losing team such as JBS, they're going to look to Callum Ward as a leader, trying to give him the ball to set up the play. So that's why we should really look at this kid. Another option is Matthew Boyd. I still believe Liber and Griffin are all going to always get the tanks. Boyd, to me, is the unforgotten one. Yes, it's priced over 6, but it just racks up the ball, this bloke. Had so many years of experience, gets it out of the guts. He's the one I believe you should also consider. If you want a couple of donut this week and go for some like a Fife, who we know is an absolute star, well, you can do that. That's up to you. But I feel like Callum Ward, Jock, this is the bloke we really have to consider. Just want to get your clarification on this pick. Thanks, mate.
Yeah, very good, and he's proving himself now as, you know, someone that can generate regular scores. The only issue I have, and I think, you know, it's good, so that good solid suggestion is, you know, his price is up there now, you know. Same with Boyd, and I agree, Boyd's no longer getting any tags, and he's just able to pluck the ball wherever he wants. I'm just concerned that they're a little bit on the pricey side, and where there's some pretty good value, even with, not many people are looking at Ryan Griffin anymore. He's, what, 490, 500 odd. If you haven't got someone like Ryan Griffin, I'd prefer you go down and really extract the value in a year where you have to extract value where it's available because of how tight we are in the bloody wallet. But going back to the ones before, if you're one of those people looking for the points of difference, I actually like Boyd, even though Boyd's up around 600 grand especially. I'm not saying they're not good options at all. I think they're good options. I think that's a good calling, son.
G'day, Jock. Name's Mitch. I'm just looking for some advice this week. Looking to go full premium in my midfield. I'm looking to bring in Joel Selwood. And then Hartung will sit on the pine to free up some cash. Then I'm looking at, for my last midfielder, players like Josh Kennedy, Libertore, Dal Sano, Watson, and Rory Sloan. Who would you be choosing out of those players? Thanks, Jock.
Yeah, I think all of that next tier of premium are all good options. The only ones that I wouldn't, of course, bring in this week would be Watson, Del Santo, who have their bye. Liberatore, I really believe, is in some sort of a sweet spot and will be a premium for as long as he dons the Western Bulldogs jumper for the Dogs. He's really there. He's in the sweet spot. Also, looking towards the finals, if you're a league player, and the first round of the Supercoach finals, Western Bulldogs will have St Kilda. As much as I love me Saints, that could be lucrative for someone like Tommy Liberatore. So that sort of thing might sway me. Rory Sloane, of course, geez, he's just stepped up big time. So he's another good option. The two that stand out of that lot, Liber if you're getting them this week, Watson if you're going to wait for after the bye, mate.
G'day, Jock. Wally here. Wanting to get your thoughts on Luke Bruce or Chad Wingard for straight swap from Silrioli. It's all I can afford because I also want to get Joel Selwood in this week. Looking at getting Bruce because I think every man and his dog is just about going to have Wingard in their team. Want a bit of a POD, as you would say. Love to hear your thoughts, mate. And give a holler to Crouching One for us. Thanks, mate.
G'day, Wally. Thanks for calling in, mate. Good to hear from you. Bruce or Wingard. Yeah, I see you going down the point of difference way, and yeah, we all love the point of difference, but ooh, gee, Bruce, yeah, he'll come out with 120s, but he's sort of pockmarking you with 60s and 50s along the way. I still see Wingard, his price is in a beautiful position. He's been played up forward a bit. I still think he might get up there and get a bit more mid time, which is what we need off him. Because we can't rely on him to kick bags of five every week. I still feel as though Wingard, though, with that potential that kid has and what he can do with the football, particularly if he gets up the ground a bit more, I still feel Wingard might be your best option, but respect that point of difference. Righto, a couple of quick ones about Roughhead now.
G'day, Jock, Crouching and Higo. Love your work, boys. It's Snipper Miles here. Just a quick question in regards to Jared Roughhead. Had him since the start, been utterly disappointing up to this point. And his suspension for this round just takes the cake. Thought he might average at least what he did last year, if not more, with no Buddy Franklin in the Hawks team. But clearly is getting the best defender every week, and the Hawks are looking to Gunston to kick a lot of their goals down forward. So what do I do? And if we're going to trade him, who should we be looking to trade him to? Franklin and Harvey are two players that come to my mind. Thanks, boys. G'day, Jock, Crouching and Higo. This is Muzza25 here. Love your work every week and couldn't have got to where I am in the season without your excellent wisdom each week, boys. So thanks again. My quick question is just regarding the one and only Jared Roughhead. What do we do with him? Been very disappointing up until now. Out suspended for the next game. Strongly considering trading him to Buddy Franklin, Boomer Harvey, or one of those likes in the forward line. Just wanted to get your thoughts, boys. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sniper and Mazza. Two brothers in the trenches with a very similar dilemma. Both lovely blokes, and you know, all the appreciation around this community and the sense of fellowship and brotherhood and sisterhood and on the website and comments of helping each other and thank you very much and appreciation. We've got something very special amongst this community. Everyone listening, whether you've been able to step up the plate tonight, like Mazza and Sniper and some more people have really stepped up and we love you for it and we want you to keep sending them in. I just want to say how much we appreciate here myself, the great Peter Higo Higginbotham, the Crouching One. Crimo, Mick the Mad Irishman, and sorry, community, and Baron, how much we really appreciate this bloody fine community now. And, yeah, What I'm going to advise you boys to do is, with Roughhead, I think you should hold him. He's dropped about 80k. Let's not forget he cranked out 137 just a fortnight ago. He's going to have a rest. Maybe that's going to switch fortunes. The last thing you bloody want, let's say you go Roughhead to Buddy Franklin. Yeah, Buddy Franklin's had a couple of reasonable weeks, but you know, let's learn from the past and say Buddy is not going to keep doing that for the rest of the season. I'll tell you right now, he's not. He's going to deposit some sizeable turds in the underpin of your team. So, again, I'd try and hold Roughhead. Just take the 1 week on the chin. I know it hurts this week, but concentrate on the long term of your team. Stuffing it with premiums as quickly as you can. Just ride Roughhead out for 1 week. Well, that's all I got time for this week. If I couldn't get your call in, I'm sorry. Keep sending them in. More people than ever this week have stepped up with wisdom. Not just the questions, but wisdom and advice, and that's what we want. Thank you very much for listening. Best of luck this weekend mastering the art of your arousal curve. Let's take the learnings of Ross and let's just implement them, and let's not overexcite. Good luck getting through your last bye round. We'll see you Sunday night, myself and Peter Higo Higginbotham. The Crouching One will be here Sunday night for the flagship podcast. I'm Jock Reynolds.
Hello, Jock. Love the podcast. I need some words of wisdom. Which premium midfielder to get in? I'm looking at Karchin, Goddard and Steven. Appreciate it.